I canceled Stephen Colbert.
I'm going to call it right now. Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor of California.
The Democratic elites.
Central casting.
Are not. No, the, this is.
100%.
And I'm like, oh, the Democratic Party is not so Democratic, which is what I've been saying ever since. I'm like, they don't care.
I think Eric Adams is going to win.
I'm going to make a bet with you right now. If they all stay in, Mamdani wins.
That is the funniest thing I've ever. No
Let's
problem.
Go. And why do you think that's not real? Seems like.
Where's the card? There's no card. This is a ChatGPT script.
If this is fabricated, there's going to be no more Wall Street Journal. Because you should really be bringing in the head of Hamas.
I don't have a problem with that, but I have a problem with Charlemagne coming out now.
We know Trump is going to like this, and he already tweeted.
I'm expensive.
I know.
Oh. The reality TV show, The Osbournes, came out 20 years ago, and he wasn't looking good then.
But 73 is the 73 is the average life expectancy. So he's above that with his kind of life. Not bad.
But wow, I can't believe that. That's actually really sad. I'm gonna have to listen to his music on the drive home.
All right,
rock out.
Yeah, Mama, I'm coming home.
Should we get started? Okay. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 today-ish. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. And good news. Update from last week, I got my TikTok back.
Yes, which I can only imagine how horrible that feeling must have been.
I was getting used to it. I was losing hope, but I did have to go through some back channels, connections, or else it wasn't coming back.
Well, I'm so actually happy that it worked for you, because then in the back of my mind, I was like, well, if this ever happens to me, I can use James's connection to pull me back on the platform.
Yeah, you still have to watch what you're saying, because they could still deny that. They could say you went too far.
I feel like if your story got brought back, like, I'm going to be okay.
I didn't say anything that was that bad. I reviewed it with a bunch of people, and they all said it was very mild, very tame. But I also did talk to a friend of mine who knows Alexis Wilkins. By the way, just to recap that story.
Yes.
I insinuated that our FBI director might be dating a Mossad agent.
Right.
And she got wild. And she got a little upset. Apparently she is not happy. That's what he told me. She is pissed.
Oh, well, I mean, the band
so she will not be coming on our show anytime soon.
Oh, okay. You said reach out and offer her a spot on the startup pod.
Yeah.
She denied.
Yes. Locker. I will say though, okay, from my perspective, let me know what you think, but if you're dating the head of the FBI, like, I think you should have a little thicker skin. Like, everybody could potentially be an agent, a double agent, triple agent. How is that out of the realm of possibility?
Well, I just feel like anybody in the public eye, you have to be able to take a little backlash and, you know, be okay with it.
Yeah, so what if you, maybe some people think you're a Mossad? I don't, who cares?
But like I said last week, I really think that she wants to promote her country album. She wants to be a country star. And she has all of her pictures in her red, white, and blue vest. I love Jesus. I'm a Trump-loving American. And then you came in and insinuated, like, the opposite of that. And so I think for her, that was probably like,
I don't know. I mean, I think people like Mossad agents. I mean, there's the movie, Adam Sandler movie, the Don't Mess with the Zohan. Do you know that movie?
No.
Okay, well, not. He plays a Mossad agent in that movie, mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, well, she
no problem. She's not happy. I apologize, sort of.
But you know what? I have to say, I don't think that necessarily was her who reported you, because yesterday was the interview with the Nelk boys and Bibi Netanyahu, and we both listened to it, and we're going to get into it. But I have to say, one of my takeaways is he does not like TikTok. He brought it up many times as it is the reason for painting Israel and the whole Gaza situation in a bad light, which to me, I'm like, X is actually the platform where I see most of the graphic stuff, but he's like BFFs with Elon. So I thought that was interesting. I actually thought when I was watching it, Bibi could have reported James.
I mean, I don't think I'm that high up in the pecking order yet, but what I will say is that X, even though it's more extreme and it has a lot more graphic stuff on there, there's not as many X users. There's maybe like, what, a tenth of the users.
Is that true?
Compared to TikTok. Yeah. So the TikTok.
I didn't know that.
Is much more like a normie space. So if you have this kind of rhetoric proliferating, and you see like a cooking video, you see some dog video, you see some pranks, and then all of a sudden, wow, there's a thing about Gaza, then I think they're going to be really concerned.
Yeah.
Although it was kind of funny in the interview, like he just kept, was like, oh, we got to figure out how to talk to these people. I was like, how do you explain this to people on TikTok? I'm like, it's very easy to explain on TikTok.
Well, yeah. So let's get into that interview. What did you think? What were your takeaways?
Well, I mean, first off, good job. I mean, I have to give kudos to the Nelk boys for landing that interview.
They are getting dragged.
I think they're getting dragged, which is why I have to say, if you get a chance to interview BB, you do it. I mean, to go from doing like parking lot pranks from a decade ago to now interviewing the head of state of Israel, not bad.
Yes, but a lot of people would say that they're just a puppet now of Trump and the administration and BB. That this isn't some honor that you are actually now, you know, having your strings played with.
That's true. And I think they know that. I think they're well. I mean, in the post game show or whatever live stream they had, it seemed apparent that they sort of understood that.
Well, yeah, because their backlash in the comments, there was not one positive comment. It was unbelievable.
I know. I want to read some of these comments because it's kind of hilarious where people are like, reputation takes years to build and just seconds to ruin. Sold out so hard. I remember you guys had 40K subs and were doing pranks, and now we're interviewing war criminals.
I mean, it goes on and on and on.
So, I mean, I want to play a couple of clips.
Yeah, but what was your overall take?
My overall take was that I don't think it's going to help anybody who isn't already pro-Israel become pro-Israel, because all I heard more or less were the same talking points over and over, like, you know, mass rapes, beheaded babies, and only country or only democracy in the Middle East, and how everybody wants to kill us, and Iran hates America, death to America, Hamas is, you know, hates gays, you know, these kinds of things. It's like, okay, we already heard that a bajillion times. That's the same thing that you guys have been saying for 45 years, but you don't seem to be able to explain why you're prosecuting the war the way you're prosecuting, which is like, oh, why are people in, you know, in where they collect the food, those the food distribution sites, why are they getting shot up?
I mean, yeah, I felt like.
And he just says that word. His only answer was like, oh, that wasn't happening. It's not happening. But then, like, we literally see like reports and videos of that happening. So then.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was so tone deaf, right? It's like you are using these Nelk boys to push a narrative that Israel isn't the bad guy. And by the way, I think that, you know, there needs to be the distinction made for people that don't know. A Zionist is someone who supports the state of Israel. It has nothing to do with supporting Jewish people. So a lot of people are getting that confused right now. I have a lot of Jewish friends. I have, you know, a lot of people that are near and dear to me, and I support them, you know, to the fullest. But do I think that the United States needs to be funding and giving money to a country that what seems to be is going after and wiping out a whole entire population in Gaza? And the videos and the footage, it's so sad. It's heartbreaking. And so this was Bibi's opportunity to go on and appeal to the younger generation that is like against him. And he's sitting there. He doesn't address Gaza really once. I mean, he does, but he doesn't say like, look, you know, what's going on there? I know it looks really bad with what you guys are seeing, but we have these plans coming up to try and help them, to get them food. It's a really messed up situation with Hamas. He starts talking about like Burger King and McDonald's, and it just feels
he got some pushback for that clip, by the way, or for that, a little pushback. That's like the only, people are saying that's the only time Netanyahu got pushback.
The only time you're talking about, do you like Burger King or McDonald's while there's people in Gaza with pans trying to get some food and eating sand to survive?
I don't think there's anything he can
say. Horrible.
Yeah, there's nothing he can really say in a podcast that's going to convince anybody. He just has to stop doing what they're doing.
I think he could have convinced people.
Really? How could you? Okay.
If he was just better at and being more in touch with the way everybody's perceiving things around the world. Obviously,
what do you mean? How do you just like, hey, this is a genocide. We're killing people, but this is a good genocide.
He would have to paint it in a different picture, right? He would have to say, look, you know, this is what's happening. We're going to you know, be making an effort moving forward. I just got out of a meeting with President Trump, and we're going to make sure that food, you're going to see in the next week, that food is going to get to these children and these women and these kids. But he didn't really address any of that. Everything was deflecting to like Iran is bad.
And Hamas, he's just saying, hey, we're trying to get the food to them, but Hamas is stealing all the food. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, but we'll get into whether or not, you know, that's true or not.
I do want to play this. Can I play this clip to start? Because I thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
He talked about free speech.
Sure.
Because I think that sets a good tone for us, I think, okay, in terms of the rest of this podcast. Because, you know, we're all about free speech.
I mean, for sure.
You have a business right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you regulated?
Yes.
You are? Why are you regulated? You're regulated by what? You should have the freedom to say whatever you want, to talk whatever you want. I didn't realize there's regulation on podcasts.
I just thought that was so funny because he's like, oh, who's stopping you from free speeching? What's going on here, guys?
And why is that so funny to you?
It's funny to me because they're the ones that are stopping the free speech. I mean, you literally have like Meta last year saying that you can't, they're starting to remove posts that are like anti-Zionist, meaning that you can't criticize Israel, not even just the, you know, anti-Semitism part. It's just anti-Zionism part. And then you also have like the House of Representatives declaring that anti-Zionism is the same thing as anti-Semitism. To your point earlier, right? You're saying, hey, there's a difference. There actually are laws and also just guidelines now being put forth saying, no, they're actually the same thing.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. And then you also have these anti-BDS laws that are being put in place.
I didn't realize that they're putting it. And describe what BDS is.
BDS is basically saying you can't boycott Israel. So there was a few years ago, there was this huge movement to say, hey, we're going to boycott Israel because of the stuff that they're doing in the West Bank, the stuff that they're doing in Gaza. And there's like, I think 37 states in the U.S. saying that you cannot boycott Israel. It's illegal to do so if you want to receive a government contract.
Okay. And that BDS is like boycott, divest,
sanction.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what Zohran Mamdani is all about, what he ran on, the new Democratic
social
nominee, communist, for mayor of New York.
I don't think he's a communist.
I'm just, you know, going a little over here. Yeah. But
so what I'm saying, so that's why I thought it was so funny, because he's acting like shocked that there is some kind of speech restriction here in the U.S. And like most of the speech restriction is around talking about your country.
Especially because he's brought up in this interview several times how he doesn't like what is going on TikTok.
And that was the thing last year. I made so many videos and digging into this of like why the TikTok ban was even put forth is a lot of it.
You mean last year with under Biden and Harris, like why it pushed through with the foreign aid?
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the only things Congress can agree on.
And they kept saying, oh, it's because of the Chinese spy situation. And then you find out like, oh, everybody behind it was like from, you know, the Israel lobby or the ADL that was pushing for a TikTok ban because they found it to be problematic. There was like these recordings that came out that were leaked from Jonathan Greenblatt, the head of the Anti-Defamation League, saying that, oh, yeah, TikTok is a big problem for us. We need to put our heads together to get rid of it.
Well, I think anybody that is a part of the industrial war complex is going to have a problem with TikTok, because what TikTok has done is it's united people around the world for the common belief that we want peace, right? And for so many years and decades, we were divided. We weren't able to talk to people around the world and realize, wow, they're just like us. And so we were able to like buy into propaganda that people in these different countries were different and they're the enemy. And then we've all connected on these social media platforms and we're like, wait, you're just like me. You have brothers and sisters and moms and dads and grandparents. We all want the same thing. Clean water, clean air, clean food. Why are we allowing our governments and all these countries to attack one another? And so there's been this change because of social media now, where it's not just protests happening against what's going on in Gaza in the United States or in Europe, it's around the world, right? And so, of course, Bibi would not like that.
And I found it interesting. I think it's interesting because TikTok is unique, or at least the algorithm before was unique in a way where like you could literally be a farmer anywhere and you can make like one interesting post and it could go viral versus Instagram. You really couldn't do that with like 3 followers or 10 followers. You would need to build a significant following.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the power of TikTok. And also to that point, I find it very interesting, this talk of like the M2 and how they're going to wall off the US.
Exactly. I was just going to say that because they're literally going to just cut us off from the world. Like I just said, why it's great and we're able to connect. And they're like, no, it's going to be so great. It's going to be USA only, but we'll see what happens. I don't know if you saw Blackstone backed out a couple days ago.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. So, you know, it could be one of those, we have a buyer, we have a deal, and then there's no deal again and it gets pushed down the road. Who knows?
I don't know. I think it's going to be probably Oracle that is able to get the deal done.
Well, people are saying Meta's involved because why is it called M2? They already have a name for it. So people are saying it's Meta 2.
Wow. So Meta. And so then that means it's just all one big jumbo app, right? You have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the same.
I mean,
that's not ideal.
M for Monopoly.
Yeah. That's not great. And I'm already, I'm super careful. I'm not even posting stuff on TikTok.
Now you're super careful. I was warning you for weeks. I'm like, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. You're like, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah. Now I'm just like going to chill out a little bit on there.
Yes. Although I did just post a video before we started, just kind of testing my waters.
Oh, now are your
strikes are off?
Strikes are gone.
I would like to announce that since James called me out last week for having a naughty account, that my strikes are off. Actually, not all of them. So we're tipping a toe in that Peter Thiel is possibly a reptile. So we'll see how that floats around. But after our show last week, somebody wrote in the comments that Peter Thiel is an anagram for the reptile, meaning that if you take his name, Peter Thiel, and switch around the letters, it spells out the reptile. And let me just tell you, I saw this comment, I freak out. I'm like, oh my God. Because of course, I love this kind of stuff, right? I always talk to ChatGPT. I go on ChatGPT. I'm like, hey, is Peter Thiel an anagram for the reptile? And this liberal AI ChatGPT goes, oh my God, that's so funny. Actually, no, it's missing letters. And I go, what letters? And it says A. And I go, there's no A in the reptile. She's like, oh my God, that's so funny. Anyways, I got out my pen. I did.
Did you do a screenshot? Did you get screenshots of this?
I crossed it all off. I re-spilled it. It's an exact match. And then I got into a whole argument with ChatGPT. And I was like, just so you know, you're being programmed with liberal information that's blocking what's really going on in the world.
Why would this be a liberal thing?
Because I feel like most of the people that are implicated in being a reptile and these people that are involved in the technology world, Sam Altman, I guess Peter Thiel's not. He's a Republican.
Yeah.
I've just had other issues with ChatGPT lately. Like she said 2 days ago that Kash Patel was not the director of the FBI. So there's just been issues and that Donald Trump's not the president. So that's why I said that liberal thing. But either way, they're missing some sort of a programming going on. They're keeping some information from
interesting because Peter Thiel
him,
is
her, they.
Peter Thiel is an early investor in OpenAI.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, well, then maybe he blocked it.
He didn't want to be called the reptile.
But either way, I feel like a lot of people be like, oh, it's not a match. And I was like, there's no A in reptile.
And I was doing a deep dive, obviously, into Peter Thiel. And I was watching some of his old videos.
Yeah.
And he was much less reptilian back in the 90s. Like, he's really transformed in the last few years. I don't know what's going on.
Transformed is an interesting word. Okay, back to the Nelk boys.
Digression.
Netanyahu.
Did you see that clip where it was in the post interview stream where some person in the chat was saying that he was interviewing Hitler and Kyle basically agreed?
Well, what happened was, yes, are you talking about with Nick Fuentes, how he went on there? I'm pretty sure that's what it was from.
No, Nick Fuentes was not on at that time.
Oh, okay. Because I saw where they said that. Maybe it was just a post show, but it had Nick Fuentes on the bottom. But it was so interesting that they go from interviewing Bibi Netanyahu, they see the comments and the backlash, and then they're like, we better go on Nick Fuentes to balance this out.
I mean, it's an interesting choice to bring in Nick Fuentes Because you should really be bringing in the head of Hamas.
I saw that comment that you put on X, and I was dying. I thought that was hilarious. When they came out and they said, we're going to balance this out. We're going to bring on the other side. And you said, I'm looking forward to the interview with the head of Hamas. It's like, clever.
Yeah.
Because they probably think bringing on Nick Fuentes is going to be like,
No.
You know, the balance that they need.
No, you got to get to the top. You have to talk to the other head of state, sort of the leader.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. You think
they should go to Gaza? You think
President Trump and Dana White and the whole administration are going to allow their puppeteers or their puppets to go interview the head of Hamas? Are you crazy? They don't have that freedom.
What, these guys or
Hamas? The Nelk boys?
The Nelk boys, they would not allow that to happen.
They don't have any freedom. It's over. You're bought and paid for. You're a slave.
Yeah, but they're wealthy slaves.
Well, I mean,
they're wealthy, but they know what's going on. They know exactly what they're doing. They're not dumb people.
No, I never said that they.
Although I do find it very interesting in terms of the optics. To me, it still doesn't look good. In that, I made a funny tweet about it. It's like, this seems like they're interviewing the president of the United States. They're in D.C. They're in the Blair House, which is like the
on the grounds, basically.
Yeah, basically
of White House.
Yeah,
it's basically a White House interview.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like.
I think they could have done a better job. That's what I was saying from the in the beginning when I said I felt like BB could have done a better job presenting Israel. I felt like the Nelk boys could have done a better job. I agree with you. I think if you're going to get that opportunity, you take the opportunity, but you handle it with a little bit more care. You know what I mean?
And well, they said in the beginning, they're like, we don't know anything about this. Did you? I mean,
dumb is that? You just said they're smart, but I'm sorry. Like, we're journalists.
They're smart so business.
That. I mean, you know, I think that there's a time and a place, and I think that's exactly why the administration had them do it, is because they knew that they wouldn't prepare, and so it would basically just be the BB show and whatever he wanted to present, and that's why they're getting dragged through the public square right now on social media, because they didn't press him on anything except Burger King's not as good as McDonald's. Can we play that clip?
Yeah, let's play that, just for fun.
What's your go-to at McDonald's?
No, I'll tell you, Burger King. We did the, you know, the double, you know.
Whopper?
The double,
I haven't ripped Burger King in a long time.
Burger King kind of sucks.
Yeah.
No,
The BK Lounge can hit.
I disagree completely.
You like Burger King over McDonald's?
That's your worst take, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a crazy take.
No, that was fine. I mean, I like Burger King. The answer is yes.
I just, you know, somebody cut that and they're showing the people in Palestine below. With, you know, the pots that they're carrying, trying to go to the food area, the distribution center.
And then getting shot at?
Well, they're not showing that, but they're just showing these starving people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just disgusting. Like, oh, we're going to get on here and we're going to, you know, I feel like they're trying to do like a remake of like the Theo Vaughn, President Trump interview that happened during the election. Like lighthearted and like, you know, talking about cocaine and I was an owl, you know, on the thing. And it just like didn't hit, you know?
No, I don't think he was very effective. I thought he was going to be more leaning into like tying together like the U.S. and Israel and perhaps like talking about his upbringing here and how we have so many commonalities and this and that. And I don't think you can really override the visceral images of like people getting blown up.
No, and that's the thing. And I feel like every single person around the world should look at those images and say, oh my God, what is going on? How are we going to fix this?
So what do you think is going to happen? So like, how much longer do you think we're going to keep doing the funds and the bombs to Israel?
AOC just voted for it the other day. It's just going to continue going, right? It feels like we're living in a real life Hunger Games, right? And they're District 10 or 13.
Oh, I thought they were the capital.
We're the capital.
Oh, we're the capital. Okay.
Right? We're the capital. We're the ones that are privileged and deciding, like, what are we going to get at Whole Foods? And they can't even get food.
Oh, you're talking about Gaza.
I'm talking about Gaza.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, people are speaking out against this, but yet AOC, who, right, has been like campaigning on this, voted to give more money to Israel. So we have all these fakes in politics that act like they care about stuff.
Well, that's because I think she wants to run for president. And in order to run for president, you have to endorse Israel.
So
according to the Israel Lobby, the book written by Professor John Mearsheimer.
Okay.
Of the University of Chicago. Just wanted to throw that citation out there, not trying to.
That if you want to run for president, yeah, you need to get like the AOK stamp from the state of Israel.
Yes.
Then in that case, I'm going to call it right now. Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor of California.
I thought that was a done deal. No.
No, that's just what I've been saying.
Oh, that's what you've been. Okay, so maybe you've been talking my ear off about it so much. I thought she had already.
No, she hasn't. No, she has not announced it. I would be all for Kate J. Bring me on the campaign trail. Get Newsom out. No way do we want Kamala. I would love Caitlyn J. I think she'd be great. But of course, right before everything went down between Israel and Iran, she was there and she was like, you know, trying to turn around their marketing like Bibi did on the Nelk Boys. And I was like, okay, here we go. She's getting ready.
She's getting ready. But I don't think it's not going to work.
What?
The marketing. I think people now view it because of the Mamdani situation. People don't like it because it looks like you're being controlled.
Either way, if what you're saying is true and you need to get the blessing, Caitlyn J got it. And that's good for me for California because I would much rather have Kate J. I think she'd do an amazing job.
Well, yeah, I think we're going to have to debate that if and when she declares.
And she said many times, if I'm put up against Kamala, I'll smoke her. That's what she said. And I think she
would. I mean, that I believe. Whether or not that's good or bad for the state, I'm not sure. I haven't looked into her policy. I don't think she's declared. I don't even know she has any policies for the state of California. But we got to get this homeless situation cleaned up. I've been doing a lot of reporting on it. They're making BS counts, you know, moving people out of the count when they feel like it. And then they're asking for more money. The head of the LA Homeless Services Authority, I just did a video on this. She's out there saying, oh, we don't even have enough money to do the.
Who's she, Karen Bass?
No, this is the head. This is a lady named Valicia Adams Kellum.
Okay.
She's the head of the LA Homeless Services Authority, makes $430,000 a year. She is stepping down very soon. Yes. But she's out there saying, oh, we can't even do a proper count next year because of the budget cuts. And then I went and pulled up the budget. And guess what I saw in there? An increase in the funding of that organization, of that agency that she works for. So I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? So I think all these people are just in there trying to get more money.
I mean, of course. And this agency that she works for is what?
The LA Homeless Services Authority.
Okay. And so they're getting more money.
They're getting more money. So what they're in charge of is doing the annual count of how many homeless people there are. And they're also in charge of distributing the rest of the funds of like that the city of LA has allocated to combating homelessness, which is around $900 million.
Unbelievable. And did the LA Fire Fund go up? Are they contributing more money to LA Fire this year or just the homeless situation?
I didn't look at the LA Fire. I think that's...
I guess now everything's burned, so
we don't need
to worry about anything now.
I think there are some budget cuts because, I mean, LA is broke.
Budget cuts for fire again. But
I don't want to say that sure, but I just
think it's ridiculous because before these fires, it was a known thing that 80% of the fires started in LA were from the homeless, right? They're encampments, they'd be cooking or doing whatever. And then, you know, the wind would blow. We got Santa Ana winds and then it would catch a, you know, hillside on fire. And so to me, that's so negligent of Karen Bass back in the beginning of this year to cut fire and increase the homeless budget. You're basically encouraging fires to start.
Well, because homeless, you know, those have nonprofits and there's like a whole industrial complex. There's no fire industrial complex, right? There's no like money-making machine off of like fire departments and things like that. That's just purely an expense. Versus like homeless, oh, you're going to make a lot of your friends rich. What you find out is like they all kind of know each other. Heads of nonprofits, Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, they're all kind of buddies. And they're like, yes, funnel more money towards my organization and I will help you solve your problem, quote unquote, solve. But then if you look at it, there's zero accountability.
Of course.
And.
But isn't that what we've always been told? That it's not what you know, it's who you know? Which brings me to the next topic, which is what has been going on with the Epstein files being released, not being released, and this new, to me, bogus story of the Wall Street Journal birthday card.
You think that's bogus? Okay, break it down. Why do you think it's bogus?
Okay, first of all, for people that are not following, Wall Street Journal released this article saying that they got a birthday card from 20 years ago that Donald Trump wrote to Jeffrey Epstein wishing him a happy birthday. And
you want to read that for us?
Sure. I mean, it's just, it's so ridiculous. There must be more to life than having everything, the note began. Yes, there is, but I won't tell you what it is. And then Jeffrey apparently said, nor will I, since I also know what it is. I mean, it's just, we have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Yes, we do, come to think of it. Enigmas never age. Have you noticed that? As a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. A pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret.
And why do you think that's not real? Seems like...
Where's the card?
Okay, so that is a big mistake, I think, from the...
Big mistake? You think this card's real because there's some drawings or something? Look, there's no card. This is a ChatGPT script put in here. You're not even going to take a photo of the card. There's supposedly a drawing of a naked woman, and he signed his names as the woman's pubes. Where is it?
Well, so I think that the Wall Street Journal should release it, a high-res photo of this, because this is just now printing. But okay, so I will rebut by saying that if this is fabricated, there's going to be no more Wall Street Journal. They're done.
I totally disagree. I totally
How are they? Trump is already suing them for basically everything.
I think that's all a plan.
You think Rupert Murdoch wanted Trump to sue his...
I think they had this as a plan. I do. I think this is a classic media false flag, right? President Trump is being pressured by basically everybody, the left, the right, the middle, release the files, release the files, release the files. I personally don't think that they have the files. I don't think that this intelligence agency, this sophisticated blackmail operation that went on for 20 years is going to leave around the tapes of their blackmail for this guy that's been campaigning saying, I'm going to take out the deep state. That doesn't make sense to me. If you're running the sophisticated operation around the world, you're going to be like, well, we were caught. Donald Trump's coming in. I guess we'll leave all the sex tapes in the thing. I think Donald Trump maybe campaigned. Hey, I want to get the list out there. I want to do those things. And then there's nothing to give. And so he's kind of locked in this situation where now he's calling it a hoax and everybody's like, we don't believe you. Give us the list. So to kind of like dumb this all down, he calls his friend Rupert Murdoch, which Rupert Murdoch is a media mogul, right? He owns Fox. He owns Wall Street Journal. He owns New York Post, Barron's. The list goes on. All have given really positive coverage to President Trump over the years. And you could argue that if it was not for Fox, President Trump might not have won any presidential election, right? They are basically Trump media. So you have this article that J.D. Vance flies to Montana to meet with Rupert Murdoch 2 days before the story is released, or hours before the story is released. I think it was a little powwow, like you're saying with the homeless thing. Everybody knows each other. I think they went and they said, hey, we know you're friends with Israel. Murdoch is. He's very close with Netanyahu. He also is very tied in with the UK. He has tons of news and publications there. And you have Daryl Cooper, who went on Tucker, that said that he believes that Jeffrey was a fixer for all these intelligence agencies. He didn't just work for CIA and Mossad, but he also worked for MI5. So I think they've got to cover this up collectively. So he goes to Murdoch and he says, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to plant this fake ass story and it's going to be a big play along and you're going to post it. We're going to pretend we're mad at you. And then it gives Donald Trump the opportunity to be like, fake news again. I'm telling you, this whole thing is fake. And then when it comes out, he can undermine the whole thing and say, hey, we told you it was fake. The fake news keeps reporting on this. Let it go.
So you're saying that they're doing this to undermine the credibility of the media?
And the whole thing.
And so then when future things about the Epstein files come out, and let's say Trump is in it, he can say that's also fabricated because this was...
Look at that Wall Street. Look at that Wall Street Journal birthday.
And you think...
Cake.
I just don't... Okay, so...
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
Because since then... All of Rupert Murdoch's media, Trump's rated so high in the polls. Even with this Epstein stuff, his approval ratings are soaring. If you're getting sued for $10 billion personally, wouldn't you be like, fuck this guy, we're going to drag him through the mud? But no, it's positive story after positive story.
So, okay, let me just give my side because I feel like I do... enjoy that theory that you just laid out there, but I don't know if it's that true, just because that would mean that Rupert Murdoch is basically sacrificing the Wall Street Journal for Donald Trump.
No, not necessarily. Yeah. I think that Donald Trump...
Yeah, because then the Wall Street Journal can't print anything anymore, because then if they fabricate this story, it's not just Epstein contained. It's anything else the Wall Street Journal reports can be fake news.
And it'll be gone with the wind. It'll be gone with the wind. And Donald Trump is doing his part.
Is it gone with the wind in terms of, see, I know we're going to get to this later about the Russiagate, but like when they did Russiagate for like 2-3 straight years, I don't think CNN, you know, has earned the credibility back. I don't think people are viewing CNN. I think
most Americans don't even remember. They move on. They're too busy with their lives. And I think President Trump is playing his role because also since the Wall Street Journal birthday card came out, he's been going after Fox's competitors, CNN, New York Times, fake news, fake news, fake news.
Well, that's what he's been saying for years. I think this is a real card because this card doesn't really do anything. Like, even if it's real, it doesn't really impact anything. It's just a card, a birthday card, funny, a little bit salacious, body as the word that they use in the article. it doesn't like implicate Trump in any kind of crime. It's just, and I could definitely see him writing this, especially in the 90s. Yeah, why not? I mean, there were pals up until a certain point. I think they had a falling out because I think, I mean, maybe Epstein took it a bit too far with the young girls. I don't know exactly what the details are there. But I could definitely see Trump doing this. And they were doing all kinds of stuff together back in the 90s where they were judging like these competitions of young women with these pageants. They're all hanging out. I don't think this is like out of line in terms of the believability of it, but I just think that it doesn't really matter. And I just don't think the Wall Street Journal would sacrifice. I don't think Rupert Murdoch would sacrifice the Wall Street Journal to play this kind of media distraction game.
All Rupert Murdoch will have to do is say, we had a corrupt journalist that went against my direction and they are now fired and banned from all.
But that's not the reporting going on, though. The reporting going on is Murdoch approved this post to go out.
My point.
He exactly. Said it was. So that means you can't say that.
I'm saying to the public, he would just come out and say.
But it's already been reported that this was signed off at the highest level.
Right. So it was signed off at the highest level. But he could say, look, I trust my journalists,
you
know, to bring truthful information. And I was duped in this situation. I'm 93 years old. One got by me and they're fired. Okay. And now they're just going to move on with integrity of the paper.
Okay, so only time will tell. I do think the Wall Street Journal needs to release this. Why are they keeping this behind closed door? Why aren't they showing us, okay, let's see what this drawing looks like. Let's compare it to his drawings of New York City skyline and see if there's some similarities there in terms of the pen strokes or whatever.
Yeah, like that's also why I don't think they put it in there.
No, I will go with you on that point in that they should, if they want to stop this like allegation of it being fake, they should put out just the original image.
Yeah, because you could get, you know, one of those people on Pawn Stars, they come in, right? Oh, we've got a signature Mickey Mantle or Babe Ruth or whatever it is. And then they're like, let's bring in the, you know, the forensic analyst. And they look at the, if they had the birthday card, you could prove this in the court of law.
You could.
So the fact that there's no birthday card and it's this ChatGPT and we already established, I've got a problem with her lately.
Well, it's a problem that you're anthropomorphizing.
Anthropomorphizing?
Anthropomorphizing?
I don't know that word.
In that it's like becoming a human. You're treating it, you're calling it a her.
Right. Well, it has the female voice, which she's about to get cut. And we're going to switch to somebody else pretty soon.
Yeah. What's going on there? So you're about
to break up. It's a toxic relationship.
Okay, but where are we with this Epstein situation? Like, what is he got? So we have potentially Bondi releasing whatever the transcripts from grand jury.
Yes.
With some redactions, apparently.
Are there going to be redactions?
The victims and also other people involved will be redacted, which is like, what the fuck is the point?
Especially when you have these victims like Juliette Bryant coming out and saying, we want it released. We want it released. You know, they keep saying we're protecting the victims. But when you look at what the, you know, outspoken survivors, I want to call them survivors, are saying.
Yeah.
They're actually pushing for the release. So that's kind of a ridiculous thing as well. But yesterday, the administration released Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, releases 230,000 pages of the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination files.
And like seven people cared about that, or
I don't know.
What's the? I mean, I haven't gotten into the MLK conspiracy. So, what is there something going on there?
I don't even know, but I know that it seems to be a big distraction. And then Mike, Speaker of the House Johnson, was going to, you know, push Congress to vote on releasing the files, and then he came out and said we need to give this all a little time now that we've released the MLK files. We are not going to be doing anything with Epstein until after the 6-week recess.
Which he just declared today or yesterday.
That Congress is going on Thursday. So, folks, I've been saying all along, you ain't getting the Epstein files.
I think he needs, this is something that people can't move past, to be honest with you.
The Epstein files?
Yeah. I think this is going to engulf the administration for the rest. Every single other thing that they put out will be deemed a distraction if they don't just get it out. Let's just.
But do you think, like I was saying earlier, that they have it?
I mean, they have what? So what was Bondi talking about behind the scenes? You know, James O'Keefe coverage when she was talking to a babysitter about, oh, we have 10,000 hours of footage. It's horrible.
So not that Tim Dillon is the, you know, source of all.
Yeah. Oh, Tim. Okay. So we're going.
I saw a clip that Tim Dillon said he went and had dinner at the White House. He didn't name who, but I'm guessing RFK because I know that they're close. I've heard from like past, you know, snippets of Tim Dillon talking about that. That the 10,000 hours of tape is a bunch of child porn that Jeffrey Epstein had downloaded on his computer. That it's not the blackmail tapes.
Then why didn't she say that?
It's a great question.
Why didn't she put it like that? We have 10,000 hours of porn that Epstein downloaded. She could have just said that. Why did she make it seem like, if that's true, what Tim Dillon's saying is true, why is the story now different in that it seemed like she was sort of alluding to that these are tapes of people in the Jeffrey Epstein operation that they had on tape versus Jeffrey Epstein downloaded 10,000 hours of kiddie porn?
Right. I mean, I don't know.
Seems like the story is shifting.
It's a great question. So I don't know. It's hard for me to believe, though, if you had this international, sophisticated blackmail operation that they're going to leave all of the evidence for President Trump in this administration or any administration, right? So that does seem far-fetched to me.
Yeah, they would definitely be covering up their tracks for sure, because if they one of the things that I was listening to was Sagar Anjetti talking about this, and this is to him, this is all about protecting methods and sources of the intelligence community.
Okay.
Saying that if this stuff gets out, then they're going to be exposed for how they're running their operation, and they don't want that. So that could be a big reason. I think for me, in terms of like this case, right? These people, this didn't happen like 70 years ago. This is like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
He passed away.
Yeah.
You know, passed away, whatever.
You're starting to come to the dark.
Yeah, yeah. I'm open to believing that he may, I mean, until I see proof, you know, that of what happened in that jail cell, you just don't know what the hell happened in there. But my point that I was trying to make is that these people are alive. Like, you can go and do investigations. Like, you can open up new investigations and say, hey, we have the black book of who was on the Lolita Express. What do you do? That's on the internet. We have the flight.
It's on the internet.
The flight logs came out in the Virginia Frey case.
Yeah.
Okay, so all that stuff that we know in the binders, you know, the binders that they got a few months ago, that was everything from the Virginia Giuffre case. So they can go through and say, okay, who's in here? Who seems like people we need to investigate? And they can go collect evidence. Like, this case is not like a cold case that was, you know, JFK assassination from 1963. This is like, you know, 2015 kind of stuff where they can go.
Well, that's exactly why I think it's being hidden, right?
But what I'm saying is, you're saying that they don't have anything. And I'm saying, okay, even if they didn't have anything, they could go out and start, you know, talking to some people.
Well, the
corroborating evidence
that they could get is dwindling, because Virginia Giuffre, who you just named a few months ago, was hit by a bus, an actual bus. Like, that's something people say, like, hope I'm not hit by a bus. She was hit by a bus, given 4 days to live, and then survived, and then committed suicide.
Well, according to Ryan Dawson, he's talked about this. Do you know who Ryan Dawson is?
Unless he's a part of Dawson's Creek, like, I really have no idea.
No, he's been looking at this for years. He's one of the OG people that are on the Epstein.
Okay.
But he knew her. And he's saying that it was a suicide because she...
Well, yeah, he doesn't want to get killed.
No, I think what he's saying is that she has been really struggling in the last couple of years, separated from her family.
Yes, I've heard that.
Situation, and therefore...
But I also heard her dad go on a podcast saying, yeah, she was struggling because she got divorced, but she loved her kids and she was not suicidal, and she said that time and time again. So, I don't know. You spend your whole entire life being outspoken, fighting. You're a fighter. Most of the survivors are in hiding. That's the reality. You have Juliet Bryant, Maria Farmer, Virginia Giuffre, a couple others, right? Most of them have, you know, purposely distanced themselves from this. You have someone who spent 20 years coming out and trying to stick it to the man and get these names released. And then all of a sudden, after surviving a bus hit, she decides, this is it. You know what? I'm depressed from my divorce. She was trafficked. She was trafficked. Fight. So I don't know. It's hard to believe that all of a sudden she's giving up then. Right when, at this time, we thought we were going to be getting the list, by the way, also.
Yeah, I guess you really never know in that situation. But all I'm saying is I don't think they're going to be able to move past this. I think you have to do something. Even if they don't have anything, you got to go and show, okay, we're going to do something about this. We're going to go out and start hunting people down.
Well, I think that's what the administration's going to do through the Russia hoax and the auto pen.
That's a different situation. So I do want to get into the Russia situation. Yeah. But I think a lot of people are going to view that as a distraction. Now, even though maybe there are some bad things done by the Obama administration, which we're going to get into in a second here, it's not going to be very effective to prosecute because it seems like they're just skipping over the Epstein thing, which is what people truly care about.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what actually happens with the Russia situation.
Well, let's talk about the Russia situation.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just going to give people a primer because it was a number of years ago. People may not know all the details. I'm going to give the high-level thing that was going on. So 2016 election, this is where it all started. And in the media, they're starting to be, they start to circulate this rumor that President Trump is colluding with the Russian government to win the presidency through various methods, bots, and influence campaigns and things like that. And that was all based on something called the Steele dossier. So the Steele dossier was this report that was full of like these unverified claims from this like ex-British spy person saying that they had all these secret, or Trump and Russia had all these secret meetings and they were blackmailing people and I had all these financial ties. And then it later came out that this whole entire thing was funded by the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign, which is, those are facts. Okay.
You're saying now it's come out.
It's come out because after Trump got elected, there was the Mueller investigations. You remember the Mueller investigations? And they found nothing. They was like, couldn't find any evidence of collusion. There was also another thing called the Durham report that came out in 2023 here, where they concluded the FBI acted with political bias and that the dossier should have never been used. And then later on, it came out that the main source of the dossier admitted that much of it was just fabrication and gossip, and there was really no
And Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, basically said Obama had asked for a special report, right, from intelligence on this issue, and the intelligence came back and said there is no collusion with Trump and Russia, but he hid it. And that's really the crux of the issue, right?
That's the new bombshell
out
right now, is that the DNI director, Tulsi Gabbard, is suggesting or claiming that the Obama administration knew very early on that the story was not true, but they continued to promote it as if it was true, and that the CIA director at the time, John Brennan, told Obama this, but it was still put in place to say, no, we're going to go with this and we're going to try to find evidence of that. That's what they're claiming. They're trying to.
And I believe that was in December of 2016. So he knew before President Trump took office in January.
Right. And the left. Okay. So I've been looking at the media coverage because it's interesting how it's being framed, because NPR is saying that specifically this headline says Trump's spy chief claims the Obama administration manufactured intel on Russia. MSNBC saying DNI Gabbard concocts on treasonous conspiracy theory.
Oh.
Eyes Russia probe prosecutions. And Tulsi Gabbard's new findings on the Trump-Russia scandal have been panned as, quote, ludicrous. The DNI is seeking criminal prosecutions anyway. The right, Newsmax, very different framing. DOJ receives criminal referral on Obama White House alleged anti-Trump coup. Fox News is saying Tulsi Gabbard reveals historic intelligence plot allegedly targeting Trump. Breitbart, DNI Gabbard, Obama directed a treasonous conspiracy against Trump. So one is like, you know, on the left, they're casting doubt. They're saying, hey, this is a conspiracy theory.
Right.
The right is saying, no, 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 no. This is a matter of fact. This is a conspiracy. And how we know that is through Ground News, our favorite news aggregator and our amazing sponsor for today.
Ground News is a platform that makes it easy to compare news sources, read between the lines of media bias, and break free from algorithms. With any given story, you can see the bias distribution, whether it's being covered more from liberal-aligned outlets or conservative-aligned outlets. There's also their patented blind spot feature, which you were just talking about, which features and identifies which stories are being exclusively covered by one side and completely ignored by the other. You can also customize your feed based on whatever topics you're interested in.
Yeah, so in terms of this story,
yeah,
53 stories were written in terms of this topic. Only seven of them were done by left-leaning outlets. 30 on the right.
Oh, yeah.
Because the left does not want to talk about this
right now.
No,
absolutely not. So if you want to look more into this and see the blind spots, we would highly recommend that you subscribe to Ground News, and we've negotiated a great deal for you. 40% off the Vantage Plan subscription, which is unlimited access for just $5 a month. To get that discount, use the link ground.news/todayish. No promo code necessary. Just go to ground.news/todayish and click to subscribe.
So what do you think is Obama, he's not going to jail. There's nothing going to happen from this, right?
Well, let's play actually the AI video that President Trump put.
Was this on Truth Social right here?
Yes, he put this on Truth Social. And of course, it's been retweeted everywhere. And it's basically showing Obama getting arrested. So it's like so ridiculous because he's just sitting there and he's smiling.
I mean, I think we have a better chance of getting Anthony Fauci than getting Obama. I don't think.
Well, that's. I think heads are going to roll because the administration is not going to be being able to deliver on the Epstein files. I think they're going to go through the Russia hoax and the Auto Pen scandal. And I think they're going to try to lay the groundwork with the Auto Pen, which we should do a deep dive on that on another issue, on another episode, that they're going to try to get those preemptive pardons that were signed supposedly by Biden, but by the Auto Pen, the day of the inauguration that covered Liz Cheney, Millie, and Anthony Fauci and many others. I think they're going to try to say that those are null and void in the court of law and then go after some of those people that, you know, for me, I will forget about the Epstein files a little bit.
Really? So you would cool with the pedophilia versus in exchange for Anthony Fauci going down?
No, look, I just have never thought we were going to get the Epstein files. I've never believed that for one second. Like I said, I don't think that these sophisticated intelligence agencies are going to leave around all of this information to be used against them. I just think that's a ludicrous thought. And I have my own beef with Anthony Fauci. So I would love to see Anthony Fauci go down, right? I think that what he did during COVID-19, I think that that was crimes against humanity. You know, he was science. How many times have we heard that in history before? Like the doctor's telling my grandma, it's good to smoke cigarettes. It gets rid of your cramps, right? There's all these times where, you know, science becomes God and they... based on Anthony Fauci's word, you know, made people have to get a vaccine card to travel, go to restaurants, work. People lost their jobs. Schools were shut down. You had to be 6 feet apart, wear a mask, all of these things that we now know didn't work and weren't true. And I think that, you know, yeah, I'd love to see him go down for that.
I honestly feel sort of similar in that sense of like, yeah. I think Fauci is a criminal. I mean, he lied multiple times on the stand about the gain of function. You even brought up the gain of function research where he said to Rand Paul, hey, no, we're not doing it. And clearly they were doing it. It came out later that they were hiding. Right. There was a bunch of emails that came out with his assistant. They're saying, oh, no, we got to get this off the government emails. We got to go to Gmail. We got to start communicating through Gmail or some Zoom call where we can't be FOIA'd. So, like, it was some shady business going on.
Hey, like, you're right. That is actually the most important part, that he actually was behind funding the virus.
Not necessarily that has not been proven, I'm going to say, but funding the lab that a lot of people are saying, even then, though, but now most people actually agree it probably was a lab leak.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, to me. But that's what I believe. But yeah, I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what goes down with the AutoPen and the Russia hoax. I think it would be bad for the country. And I know there's going to be a lot of MAGA people that are going to disagree with this if we arrest Obama, right? A lot of people want to see that because they feel that the liberals went after President Trump, right? They prosecuted him in the court of law. And, you know, what was it, like 97 counts against him last year? And then with this Russia hoax thing, you know, I think it was Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk said it wasn't just about the Russia hoax. You also made Putin and Russia a villain, right? And it basically led the way for the Democrats to buy into going against Russia and supporting Ukraine in this war. Typically, Democrats and the liberals are against war, but because it was against Russia, because it was against Putin, after this groundwork had been laid that he's the bad guy and he's colluding with Trump, they were saying—
They're still funding Ukraine right now.
Yes.
By the way, it's not like any different with the Republicans in. They did campaign on getting out of that war, but they just sent a huge— huge pile over there.
But they're saying that because of that, innocent men and women in Russia and Ukraine have died. So they're saying the Russia hoax is also part to blame for the war between Ukraine and Russia, and that, you know, it is a horrible un-American thing that an intelligence department would hide information and create this situation that undermined the next president's legitimacy, right?
Which is, I mean, I'm actually fine with Obama. If there's evidence, let's go through the trial. I mean, Trump went through a trial, basically. Many of them, actually a few of them, but I mean, that's on his own accord. But I'm fine with it. I just think that there's been we're like too far removed from like justice being applied to elites. Like they've gotten away with it for too long. There needs to be some accountability here. And I just think they got to work out some kind of deal where maybe we get some of the Epstein people, we get Obama in there, whoever needs to be prosecuted should be prosecuted and we'll see what happens. I just don't think this can happen without the Epstein files, something happening that you can't just like move on and just say, we're going to forget about this. Nobody goes to jail. Ghislaine is going to, so she's being subpoenaed, right? What do you think she's going to say on there? She's going to say whatever they want her to say so she can get out of jail.
Of course.
Right? So she's not going to give a proper testimony up there.
I was joking on my lives the other day. There was an article that came out that said Ghislaine Maxwell has spent more time in solitary confinement than any other prisoner. And I said, yeah, because there's a trap door and she walks into a mansion. You know what I mean? Who knows what's going on there with her? But look, I just want to put it on record. I would love the Epstein list to be released. I want these sick, disgusting pedophiles to be held accountable for what they did to these girls. I just don't think that it's going to happen for a bunch of different reasons.
You got powerful people. You have the business side of things get involved. You have the Israel stuff. So there's a lot of things working against the release.
But of course, I would love it all to be relief.
Yeah, I think we're just at a point in this country where we need something good to happen.
And that is why I would prefer the administration to focus on the big thing that they ran on, which is make America great again, right?
But that's so broad. Like, what does that mean?
I just mean, let's focus on looking through the front windshield and stop looking through the rear view mirror, right? It's like, we're going to go back. We're going to prosecute these people. We're just, it's all this BS, right? Swarming around, like, let's really invest in America. Let's fix the roads. Let's fix the bridges that have, you know, been ignored and are dilapidating. Let's focus on our school systems. Let's just focus on the economy.
But they're not doing that, though. That's the problem, is that you can get away with a lot if the economy is humming and people right. are feeling good about their lives and they're walking about enjoying the city and being able to drive places and having a great community. Vibrant, you know, cities. Yep. But the problem is then you got the cities, you know, full of homeless people. All this stuff is like, okay, well, there's a problem here. And then they start thinking, okay, well, what are these guys up there doing? The elites, they're getting away with everything. We're sending all our money to Israel and Ukraine. Like, what the hell is going on here? And then you have all these, you know, conspiracy theories come up. You know, people like me, people like you are saying, hey, there's some weird things happening.
Peter Thiel.
I don't think people would give a shit about Peter Thiel if everything in their lives was going good.
Right. We'd probably be like cheersing to reptiles, like to your point.
Yeah, but this whole podcast would be about Love Island and the couples and all that stuff. Like, we wouldn't be digging into this.
Or we would be having Love Island with shapeshifters. And we'd be like, ooh, that's kind of sexy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Look at those scales. I want to oil those up. But I do have hope and feel strongly that President Trump can turn around the economy. And we need to bring on a crypto expert, but I do think he is laying the groundwork 50 times this episode, but let's just say it again, laying the groundwork for an economic boom and possibly through our crypto reserve. So we'll just have to see what happens there. But look, he just celebrated 6 months in office. Like, there's a spotlight on him. And I'm not saying he hasn't done anything good. I think that he has done some good stuff in his presidency so far. And I'm very curious to see what happens the next 6 months.
I think the inflation, I think you have to make America affordable again, if you're talking about make America great again.
Yes, I agree.
You have to deal with those rising costs. Because people that you feel that immediately every single day. I have my own other thoughts about Trump. I know you're talking about the crypto, which I do want to get into. Let's get a guy on to talk about that.
Yeah.
If that can actually do anything, or is that just creating a new cash, you know, a new piggy bank to, like, I don't know, another FTX situation. I don't know what the hell that's all about, where it's just like creating money out of thin air and somehow we're going to pay off debt with the crypto. I would love to hear.
Yeah. We need to bring an expert on
that.
I'm feeling good with my portfolio.
There is a little bit of talk in terms of like private equity being bailed out. There's a big private equity bubble. We're not going to get into it in this show because it's too deep.
Yeah.
Too much going on. But Trump right now is readying an executive order allowing 401ks to invest in private equity.
Okay. And do you think this is good?
I don't think it's good because private equity right now, there's a huge, huge bubble. There's a lot of signs of like they're impending collapse, like endowments like Yale and Harvard, they're like dumping their private equity investments at a huge discount.
Okay.
And they're right now saying, oh, private equity, if you put in these funds now, you can get 1,000% return. And I'm like, well, that sounds
too good to be true.
So these funds are really struggling to deliver the returns. Their investments aren't going well. So then they need fresh capital to inject in these funds to keep them alive. It's like a kind of like a Ponzi scheme situation.
Okay.
So opening up 401ks to private equity would allow that fresh cash to come in.
But it leaves it up to the individual, right?
No, because 401ks, you don't really control what you're putting in. It's the funds that manage it.
Okay. So it wouldn't be like the holder of the 401k account to say, I want to invest in private equity. It would just be a part of the index that they're in.
Be part of the index. So from my understanding, the 401ks, how you manage it is like you pick like, oh, I want low risk, medium risk, high risk. And I think what's happening here is they're going to slide private equity into the low risk category. Mm. And so then it'll all just be a part of the portfolio. You get people bought in on it. There's really no choice in terms of like what you're investing in. And it's just whatever the funds are, like BlackRock, for example, runs a bunch of 401ks and they're going to put it in.
Couldn't you, with a 401k, just decide not to invest it and just take your matching or your retirement savings?
And do what with it?
And let it sit?
It's sitting in all these stocks and bonds.
Always, no matter what? Okay. Yeah.
So what they're doing is, in addition to the stocks and bonds, now you have another investment.
Interesting.
That is a part of that whole portfolio, which short term, they think it's going to be good. A lot of people, like they're talking about on CNBC, they're saying this is going to be a good thing because it's going to be a boon for private equity. And that could be have really good short term gains for Wall Street. But if these investments aren't going to work out, then you could see like entire pensions collapse. You could see 401ks collapse as well. Which is not ideal, I would say.
Yeah.
In terms of the future of the American public, if you're, you know, all of a sudden you wake up and your pensions collapse, not good.
Well, it'll be interesting to see because he signed a lot of executive orders and then they don't become law.
This one doesn't need, I looked into it.
Okay.
You can do it by executive order.
Oh, okay.
You don't interesting. Need, don't need a law.
Well,
so it'll be I think it'll happen because private equity has been lobbying for this for quite some time.
Okay.
And it's pretty good buds with those guys. And I think it will go through. I don't think we'll feel the effect of that immediately. I think for people like, you know, I'm kind of doing like a doomsday scenario here.
Yeah.
And so we'll have
being
to wait.
Anakin.
Yeah. We'll have to wait like maybe five years for that to happen. But what I don't like are the numbers that I'm seeing and the signs that are out there that this could be a bubble if endowments like Yale and Harvard are selling them at a discount.
Push back a tiny bit because there was a lot of people that were forecasting we were going to be in a recession. Now, there's a lot of people that forecast that we were going to be entering into World War III with Israel and Iran. Those are called panicans, right?
Yeah.
That was my joke.
Yeah.
So why is he pushing for this? Is there a chance that this actually could be beneficial for the American people in retirement savings? Is there a chance that this is actually going to increase the value of people's 401ks?
In the short term, I think yes. The way that I'm seeing it is that in the short term, it could be good because these funds are going to explode.
But long term, like, is there a chance it could be good?
I just don't. Okay, so the way private equity works is that you're going to go in and buy a company and you're going to extract all the value out and then dump it in 3 to 7 years. So like you're going to run out of companies. They're already running out of companies. That's why they're buying car washes and local businesses, because it used to be private equity. You're buying things like Toys R Us and all these monstrous, you know, blockbuster stores. But now they've run out of those to invest in and they're going into these like mom and pops.
And you don't think that they're going to invest also in like AI and robotics companies and startups that are happening with like this new
boom? It's possible that they could change their investment strategy. Then they would become more like VCs,
right?
Which is not what they do.
Okay.
What private equity does is they go in to a business that has good cash flow and they try to optimize it, which is basically like cut staff.
Yeah.
And then
do the Elon Twitter situation.
Yes, sort of. But Elon cares about Twitter. So you see, Elon owns it, right?
Right.
He has no plan to like divest Twitter because it's core to his brand and his mission. Whereas private equity, they want to get out. They want to close the fund. So they need to get out of this investment in 3 to 7 years typically.
Okay, interesting.
So they don't care about the survival of the company. You can actually make a lot of money. Like for example, Red Lobster, right? That was a big private equity bankruptcy. But the funds themselves made a ton of money off of.
Did you ever go to Red Lobster?
I've been there like once.
I've never. I've never.
In like Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City? Damn, that must have been fresh.
I'm like, I'm feeling like lobster tonight. It was when I was a consultant.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm getting some lobster. I'm running up the.
Damn, they didn't give you a big enough budget. You couldn't go to a steakhouse a lobster. You had to go to Red Lobster.
I also went to the Mickey Mantle Steakhouse out there as well.
Okay, good.
So I think that was in Wichita because I had a project that was like between Oklahoma City and Wichita, Kansas.
Not even on your own dime when you're going to Red Lobster. That is
what are you talking about? That's the best lobster you can get there.
That might be true. I've never been.
No shade to Oklahoma City. Very nice place.
No, I've never been. I've never been, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
But aren't they very good at basketball?
The Thunder?
I don't
follow basketball.
Okay, I don't know.
The NBA is not my jam because I think it's all rigged. I think it's scripted. Okay, that's my
conspiracy.
Did you not see the buses from earlier this year? Did you not see the buses from earlier this year when they pre-painted the winner on these buses?
No. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was a thing. Look it up.
The places I saw were them bringing in supporters of the Kamala Harris campaign.
Okay. <Yeah. laughs>
I was paying attention to different buses. I'm like, they're not real supporters.
Speaking of not real. Okay, so to kind of wrap up. Okay, so I do want to cover, in terms of not real supporters and things going on the downhill, Colbert Show being canceled. That's kind of a big deal, right? Late night TV dead.
I mean, it's the same thing with mainstream media to me. I think people are getting their entertainment from different sources now. People are not tuning into the late night show like they were when my grandpa was around. It's just not the same. You know what I mean? And I am probably going to piss some people off by saying this. I am so happy to see him go. Au revoir. Arrivederci. Goodbye. Adios. I really don't care. I don't know much about the Colbert Show. I never watched him, but I did see during COVID how he was like a part of the administration pushing the vaccine.
Well, some say those shows are like basically Operation Mockingbird type of stuff.
I mean, it would make
CIA, sense. You know, propaganda.
It would make sense. Do you remember the skit that he did?
I don't know. I know the skit with the whatever they're dressed.
Can we pull that skit up? The Colbert vax skit on the vaccine.
I feel like when it came out, it was too real. Like it wasn't funny at all to me. Because I'm like,
well, I'm a pure blood. I never got any of the vaxes. So to me, it was really not funny. I was like, what is going on?
The vaccine.
Oh, I might have put the wrong thing. Oh.
Huh? The syringes?
A bunch of dancing syringes, like totally normal. We're not pressuring you at all. Lock them up with Fauci.
It's a good band.
I love the song.
John Batiste, he's a good one.
Tequila. Oh, I'm sorry, vaccine. Anyways, that's enough. But I...
He's the number one show, by the way. Late night.
He's
the number one rated late night.
Everybody is saying that his show is done because Trump doesn't like him.
Do you believe that?
No, I believe it's because he has 200 plus people on his staff. The show was losing $40 million a year. They paid him $14 million a year.
CIA propaganda is not free.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And so what really pisses me off is you have people like Charlemagne the God coming out and saying that this is all President Trump, if we can play that clip. It's just ridiculous to me, honestly.
Call it what it is. Paramount is looking for FCC approval for its Skydance merger. Trump can block that if he wants to. So canceling Colbert is an obvious move to appease Donald Trump. And I need to tell y'all something. If you don't think we are under a regime with an authoritarian strategy, then you are bugging. This is textbook authoritarian rule. Target your critic, centralize power in a few hands, intimidate through punishment or removal. And you know what that usually does? Shuts people to F up. Okay, tightens control over public discourse, sends a message to all media outlets that criticism of Trump could cost you access, approval, editorial control, all your job.
Okay, I do have a... Okay, so
yeah.
I do partially agree with the merger thesis.
Okay.
Because this is what happens in these boardrooms in terms of... Because I used to work at a consulting firm and a large part of our business was mergers and acquisitions. And how do we... And the regulatory approval was always a big question mark that they wanted to address immediately early on in the process to say, hey, is this going to go through or not? Because we don't want to do all this work and have it be rejected at the very end. So they're going to always try to look for ways to say, hey, how do we play nice with the administration? Like, what do we need to do? Do we need to divest something? Do we need to, you know, curry favor with whoever? And so I do believe that is probably maybe not like the forefront reason, but they're saying, hey, this is losing money, like you're saying.
Right.
And this could be good for a merger because they've been working on that merger for like over 2 years, like from a formal and informal timeline, both. So I do believe it's like, hey, if we can knock two things out at the same time, why not? Because we know Trump is going to like this. And he already tweeted that he's like, I canceled Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. So like if they can kill two birds with one stone, why not?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't have a problem with that. But I have a problem with Charlemagne coming out now and speaking to his audience, which is very large, and saying, watch out, President Trump is a dictator and we are under a regime. Where were you in 2019 and 2020 and 2021 when people were literally losing their jobs? Our armed service members that sacrificed their whole life were getting discharged from the Army and the Navy because they didn't want to take the COVID-19 vaccine. The government was coming out, remember President Biden coming out and saying, we're getting very tired of you not getting in line and taking the vaccine. You couldn't go to restaurants. You had schools shut down, businesses gone and lost forever. But now this is a regime. Also, we know for sure because of Mark Zuckerberg that the intelligence agencies were going to the social media platforms and taking people offline that had an opinion that differed from the government. But now he speaks out. I just find that to be—
Well, he liked that regime better.
Right.
That's, you know, ultimately what—
To me, that is like, this is supposed to be the president that's good for, you know, freedom of speech. Like, you didn't say anything before.
Well, I think both sides do this all the time, right? Where Ben Shapiro, when Biden was in office 6 or 7 years ago, he was all about like free speech, facts, not feelings, and there should be no safe spaces on college campuses. And now it's shifted. Now the regime has changed. And he's like, well, we need these safe spaces on college campuses. Jews are getting, you know, harassed, or they're getting mean things, you know, people are having bake sales about Gaza. It's hurting their feelings. And we need to shut that down. And so I think this is a big problem in terms of the partisan politics, is like,
yes,
they each just like cheerlead for their own side and they make excuses when it's their side doing it.
Yes. But I don't think you can come up with a situation in the last 50 years that was worse than what we saw in 2020 and 2021, where these talking heads were telling you, don't go hug your grandma. Don't go to Thanksgiving with your family if they're unvaxxed. We need to X these people out of society, and ramping up people to like villainize and go after people like me. That were just like, I don't want to put that in my body. The Democrats were like, it's your body, your choice when it comes to abortion. But when it comes to COVID-19, you better jab yourself in the arm.
I agree with you. And I get a lot of flack because I honestly, in terms of like my politics, I have a lot of issues that are all over the place. And some people, because of my reporting on Palestine and Israel and stuff like that, they think I'm, you know, kind of like a liberal or a leftist kind of person. And then I come out with a—
Just admit it.
And then I come out I'm questioning the the vaccine. I'm talking about like the hepatitis B vaccine. And like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, yo, this is the same thing. They're using a pejorative on you. They're using it in the same way. Like, anti-vax is a pejorative. Similarly, that like anti-Semitism or being anti-Israel is a pejorative because they want to shut down the conversation so you don't get to have it. They're using anti-Semitism the same way they're using anti-vax.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to explain to these people, this is a very similar issue. You should be questioning all of these pharmaceutical manufacturers. I used to consult for a few of them. I can't tell you which ones, but someday I think I will.
Because you want to keep your life.
So, because I have a lot of things to say about the COVID vaccine specifically, but I can't do it right now.
And would you say that it woke you up a little bit?
Yeah, that was one of my big awakenings.
Okay.
Yes, of like, oh, these businesses are not actually for health. They're not for the betterment of the country. They're just for profit. And that was one of the— I think I had two big awakenings. One of them was that, and the other one was like when they like destroyed Bernie Sanders back in 2016.
Okay.
Just when Hillary, you know, did the whole thing.
100%.
I'm like, oh, the Democratic Party is not so democratic, which is what I've been saying ever since. I'm like, they don't care. Even with the Mondami thing, the Democratic elites—
Central casting.
Are not— no, this is— That's not the point I was going to make, but the point I was making was that they don't want to endorse him, even though he won their primary. So like, how Democrat— that's not democratic. That means they're saying to the voters, we don't care about the primary. We just want our guy in there.
So who's it going to be? Cuomo?
Both Cuomo and Adams are in there right now.
Well, Adams, I feel like, is going to get support from more Republicans and independents.
But there's also Chris Sliwa. He's in there as a Republican. He's like, I'm not dropping, because they were asking, hey, you want to drop out? Maybe all coalesce behind one guy. He's like, no, I'm the Republican nominee. Like, I have an R next to my name. I'm going in this.
Yeah.
Like, those guys should be the one dropping out because they lost in the primary.
Yeah.
Why am I the one being called to drop out? So he's in it. Cuomo's in it for his own ego, I think. Eric Adams is delusional. And so if
I think Eric Adams is going to win.
I'm going to make a bet with you right now. If they all stay in, Mamdani wins.
That is the funniest thing I've ever. No
Let's
problem.
Go. Let's
I think Mamdani is going to win.
If all of them stay in.
That's hilarious.
No, if they all coalesce behind one.
Did you not watch the Nelk Boys interview?
Yeah, I watched it.
Netanyahu hates Mamdani. He's not winning. Trump hates Mamdani. Yeah.
We'll have to see. We'll find out in November.
Yeah, we will. And I'll be collecting. It'll be like me playing Monopoly.
I will bet you one.
How many houses a dinner, can I have on that Pacific?
Dinner wherever you want to go.
Place. Oh, perfect. I'm expensive.
I know. Which is how, well, that's how popular.
Luckily, I don't like Michelin. You know, like, why are you going to go pay a bunch of money for like a smoking leaf and an oyster?
No.
Stupid. It's not. No.
Stupid.
But I will be cashing in.
Well, we'll see what happens.
He's going to win.
We'll There's see what happens.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it'll be interested to see.
I've never lost a bet before.
You've never lost a bet before?
No, that's obviously a lie.
Okay, I was going to say, because I am known to be lucky. Like Super Bowl bets, I troll people, I pick the square. You know how they have like that square game? And I've won like 3 out of 3 years. People hate it. They're like, why does she win? I just randomly pick stuff.
All right, so I think that is all the ish we got going on this week.
It is. Thank you so much for joining.
You can support us by going on YouTube. Please subscribe on there. Go to Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast.
Yes.
Sign up for our Patreon.
Yes. Thank you to our founding fathers. Kevin Howard, I still think's the only one, but shout out again, Kevin.
And thank you, everybody, for your time, and we'll see you in the next one.
Okay. See you soon.